It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning May 24th, 2024. I'm freshly back in the media capital of the world, New York City. And of course, I'm immediately confronted with the inescapable story of the year here, the United States presidential election. Judging from my recent time in Europe, it's certainly the story the rest of the world is most worried about. And while I might be calling it an election story, it obviously involves as much court reporting as it does political reporting. And, it's hard to avoid saying this, some of the rowdy courtroom proceedings have had more than a flavor of really hectic political gatherings to report on. But with international coverage in mind, this week has inevitably made me think of another ex-president of another country. In South Africa, there's an ex-president, Jacob Zuma, of not-so-blessed memory, who was sent to prison for, imagine this, contempt of court. In his case, he refused to obey a subpoena requiring him to appear before a judicial inquiry that was probing accusations of corrupt behavior on his previous presidential watch. He did not serve his entire sentence, having gained what South Africans call medical parole. He is elderly, just a few years older than our presidential contenders, and in poor health. But this week's news is that the highest court in the land, the equivalent of our Supreme Court, has reaffirmed that Zuma is banned from running for office again in next week's upcoming general election. What a concept! An ex-president disqualified from seeking re-election because of a judge's verdict. I will invoke a proverbial saying resorted to by many columnists from Luella Parsons to Cindy Adams and beyond. I will simply say, I'm just saying. After my return here, there's a febrile air of uncertainty among the biggest American broadcast news organizations concerning those organizations themselves, just as much as the challenging news they have to cover nowadays. The atmosphere was not exactly calm and collected when I went overseas 2 months ago, but on my return, I now find the companies in a deep state of internal consternation. The first news outfit I ever worked for here on immigrating to this country, ABC News, has suddenly lost its president, Kim Godwin, the first black woman to run a broadcast news division, gone after just a short 3 years, though tumultuous ones, in the job. CBS News is in process of being sold into a new ownership. The overall CBS network's owner, Paramount, is in talks about a takeover by the global, though originally Japanese, of course, Sony Corporation, in partnership with the mega-equity firm Apollo. Some nifty footwork may be necessary to fend off the troublesome prospect of a major national TV newsroom coming under the control of an owner from overseas. NBC News, meanwhile, is still reeling from an in-house rebellion. On-air hosts, including the network's own authoritative Chuck Todd, its chief political analyst, publicly protested against the network hiring, as a paid commentator, a former Republican Party chief, who has also been a continual 2020 election denier. Other program hosts went so far as to call the hiring a threat to our nation's democracy. In the end, the company cancelled the employment contract with the Republican, who was the very Trumpian, Ronna McDaniel, whom you may remember from when she became, in 2017, chair of the Republican National Committee. Oh, and from when she tried to stop officials in Michigan from certifying Detroit's presidential vote, which overwhelmingly favoured Joe Biden. Perhaps mercifully, we will not be seeing her commenting for NBC on this year's election. And just to fill things out, on the cable news side of the ledger, none of CNN, Fox News, nor MSNBC seem all that comfortable exactly. CNN, with its viewership down considerably from just a few years ago, now has a relatively fresh CEO, Mark Thompson, from the New York Times and before that the BBC in London, and he's on record as saying the network is now facing a, quote, existential challenge. Fox News is still reverberating from having to settle last year in that blockbuster defamation lawsuit brought by the voting machine company Dominion, settling for a whopping $787.5 million. The current reverberations are rumbling out from additional legal action in Delaware, that heaving center of big-time business litigation. My hometown New York City's pension fund and that of Oregon State, massive investors to the tune of nearly $300 billion, are suing Fox, essentially for costly incompetence. In strict legal terms, it's for neglecting the company's duty to shareholders by opening itself up to defamation lawsuits, and, I quote, by persistently broadcasting falsehoods about the 2020 presidential election. Fox can't seem to get away from that Dominion judgment. Just to round out the troubled cable scene, I should point out the obvious about MSNBC. It's tangled up inevitably in the internal wranglings of NBC itself, the senior sibling, the broadcast network. But the cable entity is also generating its own problems, problems of success, ironically enough. MSNBC's overt partisanship in the liberal direction, a mirror opposite, you could say, to Fox, is popular with its audience, obviously, and thus it has leapfrogged upward, past CNN in the ratings, securing second place in cable behind Fox. That very partisanship is seriously worrying executives in NBC's offices at Rockefeller Center, even though they say publicly that they're confident viewers know the differences between the company's range of separate news brands. Comcast, the corporate owners of NBC, have felt it necessary to intervene, a very unaccustomed step for them, and restrain the cable network's often impassioned coverage of Gaza, on the grounds that it's been too imbalanced in support of the Palestinian cause, and this, they feel, has reflected badly on the company as a whole. So given the broad range of corporate troubles behind our TV screens, spilling over often onto the coverage they're supposed to provide, perhaps we could turn elsewhere and find reassuringly confident and properly independent-minded journalism, say here in public radio, from where I broadcast. But not so fast. I'm afraid I have to bring up NPR News, our medium's main news provider, and its current conniptions. They concern what's being called, perhaps euphemistically, a, quote, new layer of editing at the network. The Morning Edition host, Michelle Martin, has taken the lead in staff discontent about this, and she's demanded to know, who is the mystery NPR donor behind the funding for this new group of editors, who are being nicknamed or codenamed Backstop? Their job will be to sign off on every single NPR item before it is broadcast. There are understandable suspicions that this is a response to recent criticism by an NPR editor who's now a former NPR editor, about eschewing at the network in the direction of progressive politics. This very public self-critique prompted House Republicans in Congress to summon NPR's still new chief executive Kathy Marr for a grilling by an oversight subcommittee. Perhaps understandably, she didn't go. But is it because of such pressure that NPR has constructed its new additional bench of invigilators? It does seem, at the least, a bit fishy, especially if we remember that only last year NPR was cutting its editorial staff by 10%. It doesn't seem likely we'll hear an explanation for all this, especially the anonymous, even secret, funding being readily given by the hard-pressed network's leadership. That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.